but their hair is showing.
Or
their hopes in a way where their body is showing. So, I mean, even if you can wear a long mantu, but if it's too tight and your body is showing, technically speaking or fiqh speaking, that's not hijab.
Yes. So, even if you're wearing chador or something.
Yeah, even if you're wearing chador. Exactly. So it's not... It's not what you're wearing, it's how you're wearing it.
Exactly. It's how you wear it, right?
And they're not, it's the how thing is so dramatic these days that it has made it really like hard to believe that changes are happening so quickly. And I think one of the great influence or factor in leading to this situation is the presence of Instagram.
Oh.
Because on WhatsApp, there's not much going on except some social groups that you can be part of. And then there's like Clubhouse, you know, there's like, you just, there are discussions. But where you see images, pictures, lively, beautiful scenes of nature, of women, of food, of dancing, of, you know, styles, of makeup, of everything, it just changes your worldview.
But this social media is like, or function like double-edged sword.
But they're using like, it the other way. Or the other way.
It's not like this all the time. It's most, like
many people are
in fact feed on it. Many people they work because of this. You know, the social media and stuff like that.
Because of that,
like it's their shop. They can't have it like in the physical world, so it's much easier for them
I'm not saying that.
And
there
isn't
only...
much tax going on, maybe, you know, in some countries.
I totally agree with that. But talking from the point of view of styles and hijab and, you know, fashion and, like, people changing their culture, their lifestyle, it's been, you know, contributing a lot to this shift in our lives.
Maybe only for fashion, you're right. I don't... You know,
we're talking about we're talking about faith, we're talking about iman, we're talking about how difficult
it is again, to keep it. On the other hand, somebody could like preach on Instagram, can't he?
But compare the percentage of people preaching and compare the percentage of people provoking sex, provoking nudity, provoking, you know, makeup, whatever, so and so. So I think there's always a greater percentage.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you got to keep in mind that, is, for example, food, right? Food is halal to eat. Is permissible to eat.
Yes.
If you overeat, becomes haram. Becomes harmful, sahih? Becomes harmful to your health. Water itself is halal, but if you overdo it, becomes harmful. Anything that exaggerate becomes a waste, right? It becomes israf, becomes haram, right?
Yes.
So with social media, we do not deny the fact that it has positive aspects to it. You could preach, you could do a lot of good work, and a lot of people doing good work. I mean, this radio station's got a page on Instagram, right? Call of Islam Radio.
Yes.
Where people could benefit. But if you look at the opposite side of it, like if you weigh the scales, the damage is doing more than good.
But you can't stop it because of the damage, can you?
It's
exactly like
the
knife.
You can't stop it. The thing is,
right?
Obviously we can't stop it, but we have to understand, we need to at least monitor it or maintain it, or we need to have this equilibrium, right? For example, we're not preaching enough. We're not teaching enough. People are, our youth are uneducated. They are ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And once, like, kids these days, at the age of 6 months, their parents give them a device just to keep them busy, right? So they won't cry or they won't bother them.
Yes.
So he grows up with a device in his hand, and all he sees is just these things. So I had grown-up friends who are talaba, mind you. One of them that day was going through Instagram, and every time he goes through, I don't know, a page, or he sees a lady, look, I'm like, I don't want to see these things. Why are you showing me? Right? So the problem is the damage they do is too much, and we don't have enough protection from it, right? We don't have enough preaching. We don't have enough education to our youth or to our societies.
But it doesn't mean to stop
we are suppressed now, right? Because now you as a believer, as a mu'min, you're afraid for your own faith. Why? Because they are so brainwashed by these social media. We're not saying we should cut them off, we should turn them off. No, we use them. But I think we need to equalize the equation, equalize the damage,
okay.
Which we don't seem to be doing anyway.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back, continue this hot discussion, okay?
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
back to the program, back to reality on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about keeping faith and how difficult it is. Sister Rosia, you wanted to say something.
I just wanted to add a comment to the brother's talk where he said, because of the impact of social media, I also think it's because of the impact of how the clergies themselves have not acted well. And that is unfortunately very catastrophic for people to experience these, especially in a Muslim country. And so people, some of them are affected by these figures, and so they have a bad image. So we should, I think, mention this truth as well. I think these days, I truly believe that they are trying to fight Islam the soft way. And the age of attacking and, you know, bombing and, you know, these have finished. Mm-hmm. And I, like a couple of days ago, I was going through internet and I wanted to search something. And I saw that a lot of these websites were unreachable because of the fact that I'm living in Iran and my country has been banned. Like some scientific articles I wanted to read. Mm-hmm. Why not Instagram? You know, this is such an expensive platform to run it, and it's like a complicated thing going on. This whole app is an expensive app, mm-hmm. right? Yes. How come it's so easy and like easily in access of all these people in the Middle East, especially in Iran? Like Instagram is so famous. This has a purpose. And as the brother said, it's because the Western culture is slowly coming into not only our country, but to the privacy of our bedrooms, to the privacy of our houses, to the privacy of our families. Mm-hmm. Like I, as a parent, as a mother, do not have as much influence as these social media on my child. And this is something that we have to be very cautious about.
I see. Thank you very much for your contribution to the program Back to Reality on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again
Tourism. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are with you with the third episode of the new series, Food Tourism. In the previous episodes, we talked about food tourism in general and said that Iran is one of the richest countries in the number of foods and drinks. From this episode on, we are going to make you familiar with the foods of different parts of Iran. This time, you will hear on Golestan province and the foods of this province. Hope you'll enjoy it. Golestan province is located in northern Iran, in southeast of Caspian Sea. This province was part of Mazandaran province till 1997, but then it was separated from Mazandaran. Golestan province has an area of nearly 21,000 square kilometers. This province is one of the main sources of Hirkani forest, whose age, in some parts, dates back to the Ice Age. It enjoys rich flora and fauna, and also a variety of ethnicities. Gurgaon is the capital city of Golestan province. This city was called Hyrkania in Greek and Durjan in Arabic. Interestingly, one of the oldest defensive walls in the world was built in this city during the Sassanid rule over 1,500 years ago. The Great Wall of Gurgan was known as the Red Wall in historical texts too. This wall used to be the second biggest wall after the Great Wall of China, but today a small part has remained from it. The city of Gurgan, like the province, enjoys a variety of foods. Mir Karimi Street in Gurgan is famous for different kinds of kebab. Na'al Bandan is also an old part of the city, which is, in fact, a traditional bazaar. The district is a good spot for providing suitable culinary items and also eating traditional Iranian foods, such as a special broth called ab gosht, rice and a stew, various kinds of kebab, and a handful of homemade and local dishes. The people of Gurgan use vegetables, cucurbits, and legumes like spinach, courgette, and vetch, mung bean, very much in their foods. Some of the popular foods in the region are mash pati, made with vetch, stew of spinach and meat, kadu torshak, sour courgette, ash torshi, sour broth, and ash gazane, nettles broth. The people of Gurgan also greatly use sour additives like pomegranate paste and sour grape juice. In addition to various foods, people in Gurgan enjoy different desserts and sweets, which are served in happy and sad events. Among famous sweets mentioned can be made of halva omaj, poshtezik, sesame seed candy, walnut halva, milky cookies, and benjak noon special bread. After a short break, we will continue with explaining some of these delicious edibles. Shirnoon or milky cookies is one of the sweets that are used in Gurgan in weddings. The sweet is made up of milk and rice. This tasty sweet is put on the tablecloth, which is given to the bride. To make these cookies for four people, you need a cup of rice, 3 cups of milk, a cup of sugar, and a little saffron or roasted turmeric. The rice is rinsed earlier. Then it is mixed with milk and put on fire. When the rice is cooked, we add sugar and at the end, some vanilla or saffron is also added. After the rice is fully cooked, the ingredients are left to get cool. Then we oil our hands and take small balls. Then we spread them in the palm and fry them in oil. Among popular foods in Gurgan, one can mention kadu torshak or sour courgette. The ingredients for 3 people include 3 medium-sized courgettes, 1 onion, 2 garlic cloves, 2 tomatoes that are peeled and chopped, a spoon of tomato paste, and dressing is also added in the end. The recipe for this food, first onion is chopped in small sizes and roasted with turmeric. Garlic cloves are minced and added so that both are fried. The courgettes are sliced and cooked with tomatoes in a pan. Once the courgettes cooked, we take the lid and add tomato paste. Then we leave it to dry up a little. Finally, mint and pepper are added and it is again cooked mildly. Make it and enjoy it.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Chinese President Xi Jinping hailed Beijing's solidarity with Iran as he hosted the Islamic Republic's President Ebrahim Raisi during the recent 3 days official visit. Some mainstream Western media outlets interpreted President Raisi's trip to the Asian giant as China and Iran huddling together for warmth. Such a view is not surprising to international observers, since it's a result of their binary opposition thinking and also because Washington distorts the view in the international landscape and through a distorted mirror, all things that the U.S. and the rest of the West see are twisted. However, it seems that America is underestimating the impact of China-Iran relations. In fact, many of the achievements of China-Iran cooperation in recent years have been realized by overcoming interference and sabotage by the U.S. side. It may be difficult to improve the situation presently, but there's a whole lively world outside the U.S.-West bloc and its circle of influence. Indeed, there's a huge space and potential for win-win cooperation between non-Western countries, including China and Iran, which cannot be blocked by the political forces of the U.S. and its cronies.
As two ancient civilizations in Asia, China and Iran are complementary economically, and they both have strong ambitions for development. The development needs of China and Iran are compatible in many fields. In recent years, China has been a large trading partner, while Iran has been a significant energy producer, in addition to being one of the most important markets for China's exports. Furthermore, China is the target partner of Iran's Looking East policy, so the potential for future cooperation between the two sides is enormous. For an analysis, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
Contrary to the distorted narrative of the Western mainstream media, the development of China-Iran relations has a strong internal driving force. In that sense, President Raisi's state visit to China is very natural. Mr. Hariri is the chairman of Iran-China Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We made a trip to visit him at his office.
What message do you think President Raisi's recent trip to China conveys to the West?
The same message that was announced many times by the Chinese government, even in this visit, was emphasized by the president of China, that the U.S. cannot unilaterally impose restrictions on any country. The important message of this trip is the beginning of the end of the unilateral dominance of the United States in the political world, that China is transforming its role as a major economic power in the world in a very, very influential power in the field of diplomacy and global equations.
Of course, Iran is still under severe sanctions by the U.S., and China is the main target of U.S.'s strategic suppression. But with a petty mindset, some U.S. and Western public opinion appeared rather odd in viewing the relationship between China and Iran, hyping that both countries are opposed to the U.S. and claiming that cooperation between the two sides will weaken U.S. efforts to isolate Iran. Such zero-sum thinking is arrogant, unreasonable, and overbearing. As an old Chinese saying goes, how can a sparrow know the will of a swan?
Iran's relationship with any country at any level, in a situation where it is in a severe conflict with the West, especially the United States, and the cruel and crippling sanctions that the United States has imposed on Iran, would naturally cause them to start worrying. Well, China is the second largest economy in the world, as well as Russia, which has opposite interests with the West. Naturally, the relationship with this country is of great concern and importance for them, especially because these relations can actually make Iran come out of the trap of sanctions and be able to solve its economic problems through relations with China.
From both the perspective of history and reality, China and Iran have many similarities. As two civilizations with a long history, they had the experience of walking from ancient glory to being bullied in modern times. In the new era, both hold the goal and dream of rejuvenation and draw their lesson when exploring the path of modernization. That is, blindly copying Western systems does not work, while finding an approach that suits one's own condition is effective and prudent.
The nations of Iran and China date back to the time when there were empires in the world. People did trade in the Roman Empire, and cargoes would arrive to Iran as it was the center of the road from where the items would be distributed in two or three routes to China. Today, the traces of these interactions can still be seen in the western and central regions of China. That is, Chinese Muslims are generally converted to Islam by Iranian merchants. And you can see that, for example, in many cities in China, we see the poems of Ferdowsi, Saadi, or Hafez in Persian on the front of their mosques.
In this sense, China's deepening cooperation with Iran also has anti-hegemony and anti-bullying features. Both China and Iran uphold independent foreign policies, firmly defend the principles of non-interference in international affairs on international occasions, and safeguard the common interests of developing countries. To know more about the topic of today's Iran Today, we had an interview with Mr. Alipour, who's an analyst and had interesting points to share.
China is not only a trade partner, but has currently become also a strategic partner for Iran. What is your opinion on that?
The trip was carried out after the maximum sanctions of the United States and the West, which was actually based on the strategic approach of the 13th administration, based on the approach of looking to the East and cooperating with countries that have some kind of a special commercial and political capacity to cooperate with the Islamic Republic of Iran, which in a way conveyed this message to the Westerners that despite the sanctions they impose against the Islamic Republic of Iran, with the strategic approach adopted by the administration at the time, the sanctions that were imposed somehow failed, and we can escape from such special conditions through cooperation with China. We can advance this issue and somehow neutralize the sanctions.
This is conducive to promoting the multipolarization and diversified development of the world and conforms to the general trend of the times. If anyone feels targeted in this process, then they should first reflect on whether they are too self-serving.
You see, considering what is against us in the world and considering what has been intensified by the same factors in our society over the past few months, the differences that exist, the way the West plans to tell the story of instability of a government or an end to it, the official invitation of the Chinese president to the president of Iran after 23 years shows that the Chinese government, the Communist Party and the Chinese people, the Chinese governing establishment as a whole, consider Iran's role in global interactions and in regional equations to be a role that is effective and important, and if not the most important in the region, at least it's one of the most important players in the region, and the Chinese government is willing to maintain its relations with Iran at a high political and economic level.
The key takeaway of President Raisi's state visit to Beijing goes way beyond the signing of bilateral cooperation agreements, analysts say. It is viewed rather as a crucial turning point in a complex, decades-long historic process of Eurasia integration. The serious possibility of Iran-China finally configuring what will be a brand new expanded strategic economic space from East Asia to West Asia is central to 21st century multipolarity disposition and is a major geopolitical triumph.
President Raisi's visit to China, the first since he took office in August 2021, will accelerate the implementation of the 25-year agreement between the two countries, according to Chinese experts.
A review of the statistics and figures of the last 10 months in the calendar year of 1401, which began on March 21, indicates that the bilateral trade between the Islamic Republic of Iran and China, non-oil trade, of course, is about $25 billion, and the share of the export of the Islamic Republic of Iran is about $12.4 billion, which is a significant figure. I emphasize again that it's non-oil trade. Well, considering this issue, we should note that China is our most important trading partner.
This meeting between the two leaders will also guide bilateral cooperation to a higher level, underscoring the deepened mutual trust between the two countries despite geopolitical uncertainties. In 2016, President Xi visited Iran, leading to the signing of several memoranda of understanding and subsequently the wide-ranging 25-year comprehensive strategic agreement.
China is an investor country in the field of fossil energy such as oil and gas, and it has made the largest amount of investment that we can make use of. Another issue is related to high-speed trains. With China, significant technologies that are even ahead of the United States and Europe, which we can consider. Moreover, during our previous document, we had discussed the high-speed trains of Tehran-Mashhad and Tehran-Qom Isfahan in order to have cooperation. But unfortunately, it remained hamstring under the previous administration. Hopefully, we can pay attention to this issue under this document and use Chinese technologies.
China has always viewed and developed its relations with Iran from a strategic perspective, Xi said to Raisi during their meeting in Beijing, noting that no matter how the international and regional situation changes, China will unswervingly develop friendly cooperation with Iran, push for new development of the comprehensive strategic partnership, and play a positive role in world peace and human progress.
You see, the field of economics basically speaks for itself. It's not much involved in politics. Economies like the economy of Iran, economies whose main basis for trade with the world is the export of raw materials such as Iran and Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, these are the ones we see in our own region. With economies like China, which are the biggest buyers of energy and raw materials. And from that side, they are the biggest exporter of machinery and technology to the world. And countries like us, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, these are the biggest buyers of these items. So they are naturally partners. This is the nature of their economy.
According to Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Economic Diplomacy, Mehdi Safari, there are several factors that influence the strategic perspective of China to work with Iran and vice versa. Firstly, Iran has 2,200 kilometers of coastline in the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman that includes the Strait of Hormuz. China has 6.5 million barrels of oil passing through this area.
For China, the most important issue in this region of the world is to establish a smooth flow of energy and raw materials to China. China supplies a significant part of its imported energy, whether in the form of oil, gas or condensate, from the Persian Gulf region. And if on a predictable day, as all political and economic analysts in the world predict that there will be a conflict between the US and China in the Asia-Pacific region, if we assume this happens, which anyway is considered by Chinese academies as an assumption that is a day when it's possible for the US to tell Saudi Arabia that you have no right to sell oil to China, and Saudi Arabia would follow suit. But no one can tell Iran who to sell to and who not to sell to.
As much as energy is important, its security is vital. In Safari's view, China realizes that a powerful country like the Islamic Republic of Iran provides the security for the energy that passes through the Persian Gulf region. So this is one aspect of the strategic partnership for Iran-China relations.
Energy from the Persian Gulf region must pass through the Straits of Hormuz, Malaga and Taiwan to reach Chinese ports. All the southern parts of these straits, namely the Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Malaga and the Taiwan Strait, are under the control of American bases. So it's possible that all these straits will be the place to disrupt China's energy path. There are two countries in the world that have enough resources and reserves of energy, and they can connect to China by land, and those two countries are Iran and Russia.
Secondly, Iran has the advantage of neighboring 15 other countries, and that's added value. Thirdly, Iran has energy. In addition to providing energy security, Iran can also provide energy. And the fourth has to do with Iran's geography and its potential for One Belt and Road Initiative. There are several corridors that could pass through Iran, forming a geostrategic China-Iran economic corridor.
In particular, we can pay attention to three issues and components as the achievement of Mr. Raisi's recent trip. The most important issue is the political will of the parties, who at the highest level expressed their political will based on bilateral and even multilateral cooperation in the form of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which can be the most special achievement of the trip. In addition, about 20 cooperation documents were signed under the comprehensive 25-year cooperation document, which brought this document into the implementation phase and somehow activated the deal. Another significant issue is cooperation in the form of the Belt and Road mega project. The Chinese send about 50,000 trains to Europe every year, and if we can move about 5,000 trains to our country from the number of trains that are sent to Europe, we can have the discussion of employment and the interlinking of the components such as economic and commercial cooperation.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. Atlantic Council reads, China-Iran relations are warming. Here's what the rest of the world should know. What was China's aim in hosting such a high-profile visit from the Iranian president? I suspect a part of this reception is relationship repair after Xi's visit to Riyadh in December. When he last visited Saudi Arabia in 2016, he stopped in Iran on the way home. This time, not only was there no Iran visit, but the joint communique of the China Gulf Cooperation Council summit featured language that indicated Beijing's support for the United Arab Emirates' position in its long-standing dispute with Iran over the Greater and Lesser Tombs and Abu Musa, islands near the Strait of Hormuz. This resulted in a lot of angry commentary from Iranians who questioned China's commitment to the country and the government's ability to manage its most important bilateral relationship. Raisi's visit likely is a means of restoring a bit of balance to China's presence in the Gulf. Raisi's trip to Beijing is likely meant to show Iranians that their country is not as isolated as it appears. Despite protests and an economy devastated by sanctions, the Islamic Republic still has a great power partner it can rely on. According to Reuters, China-Iran call for Iran sanctions to be lifted, Xi to visit. China's President Xi Jinping and his Iranian counterpart Ebrahim Raisi called for the lifting of sanctions on Iran as an integral part of a stalled international agreement on its nuclear program. Xi also accepted an invitation from Raisi to visit Iran and would do so at his convenience, the two leaders said in a joint statement on the last day of a three-day state visit to China by Raisi. Xi last visited Iran in 2016 as part of a tour of the Middle East. The leaders in their statement called for the implementation of the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, under which Iran agreed with several countries, including the United States, to curb its nuclear program in return for economic sanctions relief. APN News says, China and Iran have urged mutual neighbor Afghanistan to end restrictions on women's work and education. The call came in a joint statement on February 16, issued at the close of a visit to Beijing by Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi, during which the two sides affirmed close economic and political ties and the rejection of Western standards of human rights and democracy. Since taking over Afghanistan in August 2021, the Taliban has banned women and girls from universities and schools after the sixth grade and forced out those in elected offices and other prominent positions. The two sides called on the Afghan rulers to form an inclusive government in which all ethnic groups and political groups actually participate and cancel all discriminatory measures against women, ethnic minorities, and other religions, the statement said, adding that the U.S. and its NATO allies should be responsible for the current situation in Afghanistan. Last year, Iran and China began the implementation phase of a 25-year cooperation accord, as part of which China is to invest billions of dollars in Iran's petroleum sector in exchange for the supply of oil and petrochemical products.
Perhaps the most special issue regarding China is that, unfortunately, there is a kind of xenophobia in the media and some friends who write about China. In fact, we should practice realism in relation to the discussion of commercial cooperation with China. Yes, it's true, commercial and political cooperation. But it's good that we do not interpret China in a way that causes a kind of fear of China to be created, and that the opportunities that exist will be missed again, and that the country will be in difficulty.
According to Mohammad Marandi, a professor at the University of Tehran and a political analyst, whoever studies the text of the 25-year partnership agreement will understand that this document benefits our country. When this document was signed in Iran, some opposed it, but when other countries in the Persian Gulf or in other places signed similar agreements with China, the same critics commended them, adding that Iran's strategic partnership agreement is the strongest deal the regional countries have ever clinched with Beijing. Iran's opponents and Western media high sensitivity to the deal further proves that it is a very useful deal for the Islamic Republic. The deal sets the outlines of cooperation in political, cultural, security, defense, regional, and international domains for the next 25 years. During their latest meeting, the two Iranian and Chinese heads of state both emphasized a rejection of unilateralism, hegemony, and foreign interference in the domestic affairs of Iran. The sides are expected to increase coordination under multilateral platforms such as the UN and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and inject positive energy to regional and global peace.
According to the available figures, until the years before the coronavirus outbreak, the Chinese made about 200 million foreign trips every year. And through this 25-year cooperation document, we can attract many tourists to our country, considering the cultural commonalities we have. And we will be able to provide both resources and to somehow deepen cultural relations.
After their initial meeting, the two leaders jointly witnessed the signing of 20 bilateral cooperation documents in the fields of agriculture, trade, tourism, environmental protection, health, disaster relief, culture, and sports.
In the northwest region, Xinjiang region, there are Uyghurs, the Uyghur Muslims. In fact, Persian-speaking mullahs were sent there, and Iranian culture and customs and Persian language were transferred through these merchants. After the emergence of Islam, these connections also transmitted the culture of Islamic teachings through this route. The friendship between Iran and China wants to strengthen these relations through the acquaintance of the nations with each other's cultures and customs, which will lead to the deepening of the extensive commercial or economic relations that already exist, as well as extensive cultural and scientific relations.
The Iranian president was accompanied by a wide-ranging team, including the new central bank governor and six members of his cabinet, including the ministers of economy, petroleum, foreign affairs, and trade. According to official data, China continued to be Iran's largest trade partner in 2022, with a 10-month figure standing at $25.5 billion, surpassing other neighboring countries such as UAE, Turkey, and Iraq. Since March last year, Iran imported $12.7 billion worth of goods from China, and its exports to Beijing stood at $12.8 billion.
Iran's National Development Plan and its Look to East policy are highly compatible with the BRI, and deepened cooperation provides a guarantee for high-quality development that will accelerate Iran's economic growth and help consolidate its status in transport and energy.
In a joint statement issued at the end of Raisi's state visit to China, the Iranian and Chinese presidents reaffirmed that the United States' unilateral withdrawal from the nuclear agreement, or JCPOA, is the root cause of the current stalemate in the negotiations to revive the landmark accord, and China insists the U.S. should make the first move in reviving the pact. The statement stressed the importance of removing sanctions and ensuring Iran's economic interests as the fundamental part of the JCPOA.
Because China wants to play an active role in the Middle East, despite the fact that in the 80s, when it was developing open-door policies and economic development, it never made any official comments on this matter. But now, it wants to play an active role in the Middle East with the help of Iran. It wants to play a role in the area of Yemen, in the area of Ukraine, the Palestinian debate and regional conflicts, the Afghanistan debate, the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. This shows that China is actually interested in opening a foothold in the Middle East and imposing its own role in the U.S. backyard. And because Iran has a strong geostrategic position in the Middle East region, this will definitely be a blessing and a great opportunity for China.
Raisi and Xi also voiced their strong objection to efforts by some countries to politicize the work of the International Atomic Energy Agency in the implementation of the safeguard agreement on the sidelines. Also, the statement indicated that Iran's membership of the SCO will contribute to regional and international peace, security, stability, and development. And Iran welcomed China's initiative to expand the BRICS membership and express its readiness to contribute its strength. The SCO is made up of China, India, Pakistan, Russia, and the ex-Soviet Central Asian nations of Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. Member countries account for more than 40% of the world's population and contribute about 30% of the global GDP. Iran, holding the world's second-largest gas reserves, has also applied to join the BRICS group, which includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, essentially to tap into the powerful emerging market as an alternative to the West.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. Here today we have some of the students of Sevier International School again, Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Salaam alaikum. Brothers, how are you?
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Fine, Hassan? Hussein?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Ali Nasir, Fawad? Are you all right?
Alhamdulillah.
Salam alaykum. Welcome, brothers. So today, inshallah, we will start Surah Ali Imran. So, Surah Ali Imran has a lot of things to say. Okay? The same as the rest of the surahs. So it's very, very important for us to learn them. It starts with Alif Lam Mim on page 50. Yes? Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us the whole time practicing Surah Al-Baqarah. And now we ask you, we recommend you stay with us with Surah Ali Imran as well. Inshallah, we'll continue with the rest of the surahs as well. So, the first, second, and third verses, ayat, we'll practice today in this session. I want you to stay with us till the end of the session. So, everybody, let's go and listen to the verses, to the recitation, then we'll get back. Okay.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل.
Great recitation. I will read, I will recite. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. You all will practice after me, okay? And our brothers and sisters will practice as well. So, let's move on. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألف لام ميم
ألف لام
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم
نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل
نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So these three verses inshallah we'll practice. The Tajweed rules, we'll mention some important points inshallah. Then the rest of the verses will continue, inshallah, in the coming sessions, okay? So, Alif Lam Mim. So, there are many, many, opinions, okay, about what is the secret behind Alif Lam Mim. Why, almost 29 surahs, as I remember, 29 surahs of Qur'an al-Kareem, okay, start with this type of letters. They are called Huruful Muqatta'a, which means we have to read each letter separately.
Yeah.
Alif, Lam, Mim, or Ha, Mim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf, right? This way we have to read them separately. So, different opinions are there, okay, about what do they mean, okay? Two of them I will mention. The rest of them, inshallah, you can refer to the Tafasir book. The two of the most popular ones, one of the opinions is that these huruf al-muqatta'a, these letters are secrets between Prophet and Allah Almighty, okay? Between Allah Almighty and the Prophet. Second opinion, is that these letters, okay, going to tell us that all people who do not believe in the Quran, oh mushrikeen, or oh those who believe as well, okay, look, Quran is very simple. Quran has been what? Has been written or has been revealed, has been sent down, okay, and it's compiled or made of these letters, simple letters, alphabet letters, alif, lam, mim, ha, mim, ayn, sin, qaf, these simple letters. If you can bring something like Quran, bring it. If you think like Quran is something man-made, Prophet by himself did this, come on, bring it. Fa'atu bi suratim mim mithli. Bring a surah like this. Very simple, yes? From alif, with alif, lam, mim, these alphabet letters. So these two are the most important, popular, actually, opinions, okay, about this huruf al-muqatta'. So, refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, for the rest of the opinions and more on these, more details on these verses. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. Some of the attributes of Allah Almighty has been mentioned here. Allahu la ilaha illa hu, wahdaniyya, or tawhid of Allah Almighty.
Yes.
Okay, that He is unique, He is one. Al-hayy, yes, He is the living one. Al-qayyum, He is the all-sustainer, which means He doesn't rely on anything, on anybody. He is the one who relies on Himself. He is the sustainer. Okay? And everything for theirs to live, okay, to continue their life, okay, needs Him. This is the meaning of sustainer, yes?
Yes.
Al-Qayyum. Nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haqq. Allah Almighty has sent down to you the book with the truth, bil-haqq, confirming, musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhim, confirming what was revealed before it. وَأَنْزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. And He had sent down the Torah and the Evangel, okay, or the Injil. Alright?
Yes.
So, this is the translation. I hope, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir book. The thing is that we have to believe in Torah, we have to believe in Injil as well, because they are the divine books of Allah Almighty, the same as Quran. Alright?
Yes.
So, we believe, we Muslims believe. So, guys, let's move on with the Tajweed rules. Inshallah, some of the important tajweed rules which are necessary we'll mention. Practice them, inshallah, and have a great recitation of the Quran with tajweed rules. All right?
Yes.
Alif lam mim. Huruf al-muqatta'a must be pronounced separately. Each letter must be pronounced by its name. Plus, you have a mad on the letter lam and the letter
Meme.
Since you pronounce the name of the letter lam, be careful, it has an a sound. Alif lam meem. Do not pronounce it. Alif lam meem. Right? It's not lam. It's lam. Has an a sound. Light sound. Right?
Also, this mad for meme is called...
Oh, I'm going to explain. Maddul lazim. Okay? Now, lam meem. The mad is wajib. You have to stretch for 6 counts. Okay? It's not maddilin. Maddilin is with I sound, the I sound. Ow, I sound. Like li ila fi quraish fa ayna tadhhabun ayna. Right? This is maddilin. This mad is lazim, wajib. Okay? You have to stretch it for 6 counts. Alif lam mim. Okay?
Yes.
Alif doesn't have. You cannot say Alif. No, Alif doesn't have mad. The rest of them have mad. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. The letter lam in the word Allah, Hussein? Yeah? It has to be pronounced?
Heavily.
Heavily, yes.
Yes.
Allahu, because Hamzatul Wasl, it starts with a second letter, which is lam, and you have Hamzatul Wasl in order to read it. You put a fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl because it has lam al-ta'rif. So the nouns that have lam al-ta'rif, the lam with Hamzatul Wasl, you have to put a fatha on the top and read it.
Yep.
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. La the mad. Is it wajib, Hussein, to stretch the sound?
No.
Because Hamza is not in the same word, yes? La is another word. And also be careful, don't pronounce it la ilaha.
Yeah.
I told you in the previous sessions that it makes a big mistake, yeah? Make a big mistake. So, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Qaf has to be pronounced heavily. Qayyum. And also, if you stop here at this, at the end of the ayah, so stretch the sound as well, yes? Maddul arid
lissukun.
How do you recite it, Ali Nasir? Allahu, recite the whole ayah. Stretch the sound of qayyum at the end.
Yep. Bismillah.
Mm-hmm.
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
Qayyum, qaf, heavy sound. Qayyum. Read it one more time.
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
Ahsantum, mashallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. Nazzala alayka al-kitaba. Kitab. Sound. بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لَام لَام has, لَام is after قَاف with تَنْوِين yes merge them مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا إِدْغَام لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنْزَلَ أَنْزَلَ إِخْفَى وَأَنْزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ إِنْجِيلَ again إِخْفَى with a stretching sound because you end here. That's it. So thank you so much, brothers and sisters. These three verses, ayats, we alhamdulillah mentioned the important tajweed rules of them. Please practice them. Have a nice recitation with tajweed. Hassan, Fawad, Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much for being with us. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International School. We'll be here with you in the coming session with the rest of the verses, ayats of Surah Ali Imran. See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is